the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Amen. In these Sundays after Epiphany, our gospel readings take us through different accounts of how Jesus Christ is revealed. Last Sunday, as we celebrated the baptism of our Lord, our gospel described God's voice declaring of Jesus that this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased, as the Spirit descended upon him. In this Sunday's gospel, John the Baptist points to Jesus as the one upon whom the Spirit rests, calling him the Lamb of God, then directs two of his disciples to follow Jesus instead. The revelation of Jesus' presence begins a time of transition from John's ministry to Jesus's. And the disciples are coalescing around Jesus. There's like a new magnetic field. And they're coming around him and they're trying to figure him out. Who is he? In this passage, three of the disciples are wrestling with this question. Rabbi? Messiah? Even though Andrew demonstrates a deeper understanding of Jesus, identifying him as the Messiah, that identity alone evoked a complex range of expectations that the disciples would be sorting through the entire time that they followed Jesus. Epiphanies are like that. We may know that we've experienced God somehow, but we often are left with lots of questions to work out. And like Jesus with the earliest of his disciples, we are continually invited to come and see, to let our curiosity override our complacency or perhaps our apprehension, to follow where Jesus leads and to allow him to shape our hearts and minds and spirits. Epiphany is one of the oldest celebrations in the Christian calendar, older than Christmas. It's important and often overlooked fact that one of our most ancient of observances points to God's desire to reveal who God is and to be known by us. God is always saying, come and see. God relentlessly seeks to communicate with us and to draw us close. Responding to God's epiphanies, God's revelations, is at the heart of what it means for us to be people of faith. And it always requires discernment. How do we know where Jesus' voice is calling us to follow? It's a question that is very, very relevant to the times in which we find ourselves. The events of these past few weeks have been difficult ones. They've been full of violence. The violence in Minnesota, in Portland, tensions internationally, and rhetoric of violence surrounding all of it. This is not intended to be a partisan statement so much as an observation that as conflicts and problems arise around a host of issues in our collective life as a nation, violence has become modeled as a go-to solution in thought and word and deed. It's just in the air. And whether we realize it or not, it's formative. It can all too easily shape our own responses and our own judgments. And we may not even realize what's going on until we find ourselves gripping the steering wheel. And that can distort our ability to listen and discern in terms of how we work out how to live faithfully. How do we continue to be responsive to the revelation of Christ's love in our lives in the midst of all the noise? As we remember the ministry and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. this weekend, it's a time to continue to learn from his teaching and his example. He understood racism and injustice not solely as social issues, but as profoundly spiritual ones. And we need to do the same as we face challenges and conflicts in our day, to discern them as spiritual and social issues. In Dr. King's words, along the way of life, someone must have sense enough and morality enough to cut off the chain of hate. This can be done only by projecting the ethics of love to the center of our lives. What's at the center of our lives? What are we absorbing that in turn shapes our responses? Is it love? This is where we must be intentional about the kind of rhetoric that we're taking in and the spiritual and ethical lens that it is giving us. Before anything else, we must root and ground ourselves in the love of God and in a faithful response to the revelation and epiphany that is Jesus Christ. Because when our identity as people loved by God is at the core of our beings, it reshapes things. It reshapes us. It helps us push back against fear and shame that may lurk in our spirits and in our souls. It changes how we move through our days, how we engage our communities. It changes our relationships. Love enters the center of our lives and addresses and holds the places where our fear has translated into an inability to love and affirm the dignity of others. Scripture tells us that we love because God first loved us. In Dr. King's words, we are able to love people not because we like them, not because their attitudes and ways appeal to us, but because God loves them. Another scholar has put it this way: justice is love made public. When we take in the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, we can step away from the quick judgments that cause us to distance ourselves from those who are unlike us. We can start with prayer, and we can draw the strength we need from God's love and mercy to engage the world around us as our consciences dictate. This will look different for each of us. But here is our common meeting point. As we gather here today, we are bound by our identity as the body of Christ that we celebrate in the Eucharist. Think about that. Our shared identity comes from what we ingest, from our common table, from identity as the body and blood of Christ. And it is this self-giving love that we are invited to take into the center of our being so that all that we do can be informed by it. And then we are called to let Christ's love flow from our core in everything we do. We are called to be walking epiphanies, walking revelations of Christ's love to the world around us. And while this looks different for each and every one of us, it all flows from Christ's love as the source. This week, I invite all of us to think about what we are ingesting. Whose voices we're listening to and how that shapes our words and actions every day. Think in terms of input-output. What are you absorbing? How does this impact your sense of connection to the love of Christ and how you live this out in your life? Staying connected to Christ's love and allowing this to feed us is what gives us the grace and the strength to love across our differences and our conflicts. It's how we firmly and nonviolently address the injustices in our world. And it's how we remain centered and grounded in a world that seems determined to throw us off kilter. Jesus' love invites us into a different way, one that is robustly rooted and grounded in God's determination to draw the whole world towards redemption and to redeem all of creation with God's love.